context of this story in John has been eliminated by making it a very short reading for, you know, a scripture reading on Sunday morning. The context of this story is that it is surrounded by the motifs related to the resurrection of Lazarus. So just prior to this, John reports the anointing of Jesus at Bethany by Mary, Lazarus's sister, which is clearly out of gratitude for what Jesus had done. And then, when the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. And so then, the next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and so on. And then following this, so the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went out to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." So the context of the triumphal entry in John is that it's in response to the raising of Lazarus. So that is really important in relation to the meaning of this story and of its context. That is that the portrayal of the crowd's enthusiasm is that it is in response to Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And there are two crowds that are mentioned. The crowd that had been present at Lazarus's resurrection, and also then the great crowd that had heard about this and then went out to meet Jesus. Now, the plot of the authorities then to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus is also in response to the raising of Lazarus and to the response of the great crowd to this sign that Jesus had done. Now, the immediate context of the triumphal entry and the way in which John tells this story is very interesting. First of all, it is the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. Now, this is a highly symbolic action. What is implied is that Jesus is walking, and they hear him that he is coming, and so they go out to meet him with palm branches. Now, this symbol is associated in the traditions with the Maccabees and with the establishment of the Jewish state. Ray Brown has a really good section on this. It's pages 461 and 62 in the first volume of his commentary on John. So I'd suggest you look that up if you can. I'll read for you what Brown says. He cites Farmer's article in which he has argued that this gesture was evocative of Maccabean nationalism and was a symbol of nationalism that the palm appeared on the coins of the Second Revolt. That is, the revolt of Simon Bar Kokhba in 132 and 130-135. When Judas Maccabeus rededicated the temple altar after its profanation by the Syrians in 164 BC, the Jews brought palms to the temple. You can see this in 2 Maccabees 10:7. And when his brother Simon conquered the Jerusalem citadel in 142 BC, the Jews took possession of it, carrying palm fronds. This is in 1 Maccabees 13:51. And in the Testament of Naphtali, chapter 5, verse 4, where there occurs the same expression for palm fronds that John uses, the fronds are given to Levi as a symbol of power over all Israel. So Brown concludes that the action of the crowd seems to have political overtones, as if they were welcoming Jesus as a national liberator. And also that when they came out to meet him, that this was an expression used to describe the joyful reception of Hellenistic sovereigns into a city. So, for instance, Pergamum went out to meet Attalus III, Antioch came out to meet Titus, as is reported in Josephus' Jewish War, Book 7. And also, then, John adds to the psalm, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," the phrase, "the King of Israel," which is not in the psalm. So this also gives that initial introduction and acclamation of the crowd the context of the reception of Jesus as a national liberator. That's what John's audience would have understood this to mean, and that it evokes those symbols of the reestablishment of an independent Jewish state in the spirit of the Maccabees, which is implied that that's what the crowd understood and were doing. Jesus finding a donkey, then, is in response to this acclamation by the crowd. He found a young donkey and sat on it. Now, this is clearly a symbolic action on Jesus' part that also is in response to the acclamation of the crowd. So the crowd is cheering him and celebrating in this way with palm fronds and so on. And then Jesus found a donkey and sat on it. So the implication of the donkey is the king who comes as a king of peace. John interprets this by quoting the statement from Zechariah 9:9, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Now, Zechariah 9:9 is a celebration of a messianic figure, of a Messiah, a king of Israel, who comes as a king of peace, humble and riding on a donkey's colt. Now, John does not include the humble part, but rather the sitting on a donkey's colt. Now, the motif of a peaceful monarch in the tradition of Israel is a broad-based tradition, not very extensive, but really significant. And you could look up these elements. There's Psalm 46, 8 through 10. He breaks the bow. I'll read it to you. Psalm 46 is, "Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." So that's a description of what the Lord does. Then in Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, it's the proclamation of the peaceable kingdom. The lion shall lie down with the lamb, and so on. And at the end of that, it is peace, peace to those who are far, and peace to those who are near. And I will heal them. Which is peace to those who are near, that is in the community of Israel, and those who are far, that is the nations. In Hosea 2:18, "I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land. And the classic in Micah 4, 1-4, I will beat the swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall the nation make war on each other. So this tradition is implied by Zechariah 9:9 and presents that John's understanding of Jesus sitting on a colt is that he came as the fulfillment of this promise of a Messiah who was a Messiah of peace. John's comment then is, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So, the things that had been written of him were, namely, Zechariah 9:9, and these other things that are part of the Zechariah 9:9 tradition. And the things that had been done to him were, first, the crowd acclaiming him as the king, which they then understood to be not just the king of Israel, but the king of the earth who came to bring peace rather than war, and that this was in contrast, this sign, this sitting on a donkey's colt that John understood later it to mean, was in contrast to the kings of the earth who came riding on war horses and in chariots, namely with instruments of, on symbols of warfare and of victory in warfare. So the whole frame of this story then is that Jesus' messiahship is revealed and celebrated by his victory over the power of death in the raising of Lazarus. And that the triumphal entry then is the transformation of Jesus' entry from being a nationalistic acclamation of him as the King of Israel and the establishment of an independent Jewish state to Jesus as a Messiah of peace who would establish a universal kingdom of peace, brotherhood, and love. So, the implication of this, the radicality of this story, is that John's retelling of this story reshapes the tradition explicitly in the story itself as a story of a Messiah of peace. The statement about the disciples is then that they didn't understand the Zechariah reference. That is, they didn't understand the significance of Jesus sitting on a donkey, but that John later recognized it in what had been written about him in Zechariah, and therefore included that in this story, that he only recognized this after Jesus' death. And they understood the significance of what was done to him, namely the acclamation of him as the King of Israel, by understanding his triumphal entry in the context of the raising of Lazarus and of this tradition of the Messiah as a Prince of Peace. This motif is also picked up later in the Pilate trial, when Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world, but it is of a different character." So in John, Jesus is the king of the Jews, but it does not mean a political kingdom, but instead a spiritual kingdom of peace. And the motif of the remembering is also present earlier in John's Gospel, in the story of the cleansing of the temple. After, you know, Jesus drove out the money changers, John comments, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, namely, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? So Jesus understood then this, and the significance of the temple also then was transformed by what Jesus had done. What the disciples didn't understand was about the character of Jesus' kingdom, just as Pilate didn't understand. So this is a very subtle, as well as transformative story that invites the audience to listen carefully to what is being said and to think about the significance of the specific elements of the story. So it's fascinating to me, but it is also profoundly revealing in the way in which it portrays Jesus as the Messiah of peace. So it is a story that we need to tell and interpret in relation to this primary understanding of the significance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Jesus' response to the crowd and his changing their perception of what he is doing by sitting on the donkey is implied by the presence in John's story of an adversative, but is not translated in the NRSV. So the NRSV reads, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a donkey and sat on it." But what the Greek says is, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. But Jesus found a young donkey." So what he was doing was to reinterpret what they were saying and to give it a different meaning over against what they were, you know, implying by greeting him as the King of Israel, and that he went and sat on a donkey's colt in order to clarify the significance of what he was doing. So in the telling of this, we need to include, "But Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it." Have fun telling it, and do it well.